Welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and each week I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week I will be reading a single story. As always, the author's original intent has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is Time Out, Part 3, by Axel J. 96. Time is a funny thing, isn't it? Today is where you always are, but you always dream of tomorrow or yesterday. It's strange to think about now, how simple it seemed, how complex it really was. Cracking time open sure changed everything. Most people aren't aware that time is a physical object. Even fewer know that time exists in 16 places across the world. I had cracked the first three, but he was stopping me from breaking the fourth. He was the last time cop. Uncorruptible, a living embodiment of the time constitution. He's my enemy. His name is John, but I used to call him partner. "This won't bring her back, you know," John said. The time winds scattered the hourglass sands around us furiously. "You don't know that. No one does for sure," I screamed back. I held my time sword high above my head, but didn't swing it because of John's time gun pointed at my head. He smirked. "This standoff could last for an eon. Just put the time sword back in the time sheath, and let's make this right." "I've got to finish this, John," I said, the time bomb in my pocket, ready to explode when I said a certain phrase. John shed a singular tear. "I understand, Nick." John was getting choked up now. "I understand because I loved her, too." He put the time gun in the holster and fell to his knees. It was my time to smirk. "Don't be such a time baby, John. She knew about us. That's why I need to bring her back, to set things right between us." I could tell John was shocked and hurt, wounded even. I pressed my advantage. "Your time was up before it started," I said as I walked closer to him. "And because of your emotions, you're never going to see tomorrow."
"I should have told her," John kept sobbing.
I walked behind him and raised my time sword above his head, ready to strike. "Why do today what you could put off till tomorrow?" I said as my sword fell. In the last time second, John turned and shot me dead in my chest. What is today but yesterday's tomorrow? That was Time Out, Part 3, by Axel J. 96. And now time for the part of the show where we bring on a special guest to talk about the story we've just read. Today we have Leslie Willard, another PhD in the program, a television scholar, and an underwater cave creator. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, yeah. Cave, is that the right terminology? I think cavern, is that, what's the difference there?
Technically, I say cavernous space.
A cavernous space.
To not be limiting, but cave is accepted vernacular.
See, I had always been under the impression that a cavern was just something that you said when you were drinking wine or brandy, and cave was something that you said when you were drinking, like, scotch or rum. And then you just strictly did not speak about those things when you weren't drinking alcohol.
I think that's a fair distinction.
Yeah?
But scientifically, we will be using cavernous space.
Okay. All right. I'll try and remember that for the future.
Thank you. I appreciate the specificity.
Yeah. Well, we're always concerned with making sure we get our terminology right here on The Best Worst Story You've Never Read, as well as specificity. Though I'm not sure that's the right term here, but I don't really mind. Anyway, so what do you think about the story that we just read, Time Out Part 3 by Alex J96.
I feel like it wasn't as strong as part one and part deux, but...
Oh, you've read the others?
I have, indeed.
Yes. Oh, wow. I actually found this only found part three, and I thought it was such a terrible story that I asked for permission, but Alex J96 gave us permission, but then did not tell me anything about part one and two. Can you tell us anything about it? What?
Yeah, they were originally posted on fanfic.net.
Oh, okay.
But when he decided to go legit with part three, of course, he took those down.
Hmm.
But I do have an old fan PDF copy of it.
Oh, wow. Well, we'd love to get our hands on that if you could... are you allowed to share that?
Is it... I would have to secure Alex's permission. I call him Alex. But, yeah, I could see about that.
Well, this is interesting. This is the first time that I think a guest has known the author of a piece personally. So you can really... other than the times that I had my... use my brother's stories or my own stories or the guest stories on the podcast. But you are the first guest who did not write the story... and knows the author personally. Can you give us some insight? What's going on in the author's mind when Alex is a he?
Yes, correct.
What was going on in Alex's mind when he wrote Time Out Part 3? And the others, I suppose, as well.
Well, like many authors of his day, he's struggling with concepts of time and chronology and the very essence of what time means.
Sure.
So to grapple with that, I believe he made time a physical entity and time cops to really police that.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
As we all wish we could.
Well, and also just based on his username, and I might be extrapolating too much here, but it seems like he's coming out of 1996 or perhaps 1096. I'm really not sure. I don't want to make any judgments, but... But I wonder if there was perhaps a police state that was causing him to think more about what was going on. What part of the country is he from, do you know? Or is he even from this country?
It's a very American perspective of yours.
Yeah, well...
He's actually from Alberta, Canada.
Oh, okay. Yes. So, yeah, one of the more heavily policed places in the world, actually.
Right, he's reacting against that, I'd imagine. I can't speak for Alex, of course, but...
Right. Well, we're not asking you to speak for him. We're just trying to get you to tell us exactly what's going on in his mind, which should be fairly easy. I mean, I believe you wrote on your entry papers to actually get on the show that you also have some psychic abilities?
Limited.
Limited?
But
how so?
They are limited to telekinesis.
Oh, okay. So you can move things.
Not telepathy, but telekinesis.
Oh, okay. Can you... Well, that's interesting. Can you... So you can move, like... is there a weight limit to what you can move?
Yes. Right now, I am stalled out at a deck of cards, but I have big ambitions.
Wow. Wow.
I exercise it daily.
Oh, really?
I do.
It's
part of my regimen in the morning.
Well, cool. Very cool. So are you... Would you say... I guess I'm not really sure about the weight here, but so you're able to move a deck of cards, but you say so you wouldn't be able to move, like, say, a 20-pound brick of some sort. But would you be able to move, like, the hearts and minds of millions? Is that less or more weight than a deck of cards?
Are you saying I don't already? I believe that was the function of this podcast.
Oh. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't say that... I think that there are some problems with that idea. One, we do not have millions of listeners. We hardly have 30.
You will now.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I'm very big in cavernous space underwater.
Really?
Construction.
There are lots
of big deal.
So are you suggesting that there are lots of listeners in underwater spaces, or lots of potential listeners in underwater cavernous spaces,
within the field? Transition.
Yeah. Oh.
You'll get a lot of hits on this one, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I can't guarantee for the other episodes, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's probably okay. Maybe they'll listen to the next one and be let down and then not listen. But that's two episodes. I mean, we'll take what we can get.
Right.
Well,
gotta start somewhere, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. This actually started in... I was... in a burning building. It was funny. It's kind of an origin story of sorts. I was in a burning building, And my friend looked at me, and he was like, you know what's really big right now? Podcasts. And I was like, that's right. And as we were descending the ladder over the firefighter's shoulders, I was just like, you know, remember when you said that thing about podcasts being really big? And he was like, yeah, I remember. And I was like, we should do that. And that was my friend Dustin, the original producer of the show. And so we just decided to make this podcast. So,
So speaking of, I heard you're in the market for a new producer.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. I intend to, we've got a couple of applications that are coming in. We're going to do some interviews. I might actually ask them to be on the show as an interview as well. So maybe, listeners out there, look out or listen out for the next episode when we might have some interviews for our new producer for the Best Worst Story You've Never Read. And if you know someone, tell them about us. Get them out here. Where did you hear of this? I had some flyers over at the coffee house. I also had one of those planes flying over the city carrying a little tail that was... Was that or did you...
I do independent research.
Oh, okay.
Before I get involved with any kind of cultural entity.
Huh.
I have a very specific persona that I'm trying to put in place.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
Scholarly and...
Right.
Right. So I had to do my due diligence, of course. So.
Well, yeah, that's good. Well, what else did you learn about us when you were doing the research?
I did learn some interesting facts about your specialist guest from last week.
Oh, really?
Ms. Kate Cronin.
Oh, yes, Kate Cronin, yeah. What did you learn about her?
I learned that her tiny miniature clocks...
She is a miniature clockmaker, right?
Right. I learned that there are some interesting labor disputes over her help,
I suppose. Well, I don't want to say that we cracked that case, but I was the one who interjected over her and said the word slaves. And at least 30 people heard that, so... we like to consider ourselves somewhat of investigative reporters as well as podcasters. We being myself, the royal we. And so I'm really proud of that we were able to make that known. Was there anything else that you came out? Anything about me? I've got some skeletons on my closet. Not this one. Not visible in this one, but... Anything that you found out about me while you were doing research? I don't know what's out there.
Nothing I'm comfortable sharing with your audience, but
sure.
We should probably talk afterwards.
Oh.
Especially if we're going to make this a regular segment, as I'm sure it will, with the popularity and the...
Oh, right.
The fans that I will be bringing.
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that stuff later. I would say, though, that if you are referring to the Best Worst Story... erotic fanfic, then I have to admit that was actually written by me. I was going through a weird phase and I just thought it would be fun.
Oh, so. I'm aware. As I said, I came across Alex on fanfic.net as
Right.
Well. I'm a aficionado, if you will, of fan studies.
An aficionado? Fanfic. Like?
Yes. Underwater cave.
Oh, fish, right.
Fish, yeah. Yes. Okay. Aficionado. Yes.
Okay. Well, cool. Yeah. Did you like it? I thought it was fairly well written. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm just gossiping for a bit here, but I was really proud of it, actually. I thought it...
Yes. The syntax was a little...
Well, I mean, I'm talking more about, like, the creative, I would say, positions, but not necessarily... Well, just... Anyway, we'll talk more later.
It was inventive. I will give you that.
Thank you. Well, that's what I was going for, so... Well, speaking of writing, let's talk more about Time Out. What if, in part three, I thought it was... epic in not the modern sense of the word, or perhaps the contemporary sense, but in the actual sense of the word. I thought it was a very epic story. Well, what did you think?
I concur.
Yeah?
The scope is quite epic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the idea of these time sands flying around everywhere is this duel of sorts between minds and bodies, or perhaps hearts and bodies. I don't know. I thought it was pretty moving, really.
Yes, the metaphorical time and the physical time interacting.
Right. Yeah.
Especially in the wind itself.
Yeah.
It's very touching.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, that considering that Alex drew so much attention to time within the story, that the time that was passing during the tale was not really, there wasn't much, he didn't draw a lot of attention to it, I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, it was a very subtle.
Yeah.
Subtle maneuver,
like,
I believe.
Like this could have lasted, this interaction between John and Nick could have lasted, say, 5 minutes, or it could have lasted hours, or perhaps even eons, as John was suggesting.
I agree. So. I think that was intentional.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You seem like you have some insight on that. Were you collaborator on this story? Is that what you're trying to say?
Not this one.
Oh.
Part due. Yes, I do have a small writer's credit.
Oh, wow.
That
may
or may not be part of the reason that it had to be taken down, because there were disputes between Alex and I over credit. But it's all been worked out now.
Well, that's good.
And he endeavored to do part three on his own, and yeah. I commend him. It's great. I'm very busy with my own cavernous space construction.
Sure.
But I'll be interested to see if part four ever surfaces.
Yeah. Yeah, it surfaces. I get it. Well, if it's stuck in a cavernous space, it might not, because there's roofs in those. You would get stuck.
Yeah, there's no surfacing.
Yeah. Well, hey, what about a game? Would you be interested in playing a game?
I believe some levity would be called for.
Yeah. I don't know if we have any. I'll check the fridge when we get done, but if you don't mind playing a game first, that would be great. Well, what I normally do is I ask the guests to take 5 minutes to write an epilogue to, or a sequel to, the story. So this might be strange with you having collaborated with Alex before. You probably have created some ideas of what you expect to happen, even. I'm really interested to hear what you have to say, to what your story is going to be like. And I'm sure the listeners are too. But I would ask that you take a little bit of distance here. You know, you write this as a Leslie Willard podcast guest and not Leslie Willard, former collaborator on Time Out Part 2. So are you ready? Do you think you're prepared? Do you need to get into any kind of mental state?
I don't believe that I've ever left
the mental
time
state.
Out's mental state.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yes. I'm very at home in this universe.
Hmm.
As well, I'm sure you're about to find out.
Well, I'm eager to hear it. I did want to ask, actually, what state would you say is closest to this mental state? I'd say Nebraska is pretty far north, but I don't know.
I believe it would be a Canadian state, for
sure.
His,
okay.
For Alex.
All right. Well, I won't say anything about that, but that sounds pretty dumb. Anyway, so we'll go ahead and take our 5 minutes now. It's just me, ma'am.
Who's me?
And we're back. That 5 minutes, I felt like it was a nice time out from the conversation we were having earlier.
Apt. Very apt.
Yeah. Well, we are trying to develop an apt. That's an app. But that is, I'm glad that you didn't mention it and I misheard you. We are trying to develop an app for this as well. It's not going to have any of the stories on it, or any of the podcast audio. It's really just something that you load up on your phone, and my face appears and kind of spins around in a circle a couple of times, and then it closes. I'm not very good at computer programming, but hopefully you're better at writing stories than I am at computer programming. You're ready with your story?
I am. I am indeed.
Well, we're very eager to hear it, so whenever you're ready.
Great. This is Time Out. Part 2.5.
Oh, good. This
an
is
interlude between 2 and 3.
A remix, almost, maybe. Well, I'll reserve my comments until afterwards, so.
Great, that would be appreciated. And I begin. Her name was Amelia, and she was the timekeeper. My timekeeper. Our timekeeper. Back when we only recognized 15 of the 16 time crypts across the world, and the universe seemed much smaller than it was, she was also the keeper of my heart. As a simple time cop, I knew better than to interfere with the keeper's clan, but my Amelia was too strong a temptation. She was my today, my tomorrow, my eternity, until she threw herself upon the sword of time to end the keeper's rebellion. Her sacrifice restored the equilibrium required by the time constitution, but corrupted my incorruptible partner John and turned him against me, me and the collective. Still grieving from my bitter loss, I hefted my time sword aloft and began the hunt for my former partner. Tomorrow you shall rue today, I warned as I began my pursuit. And that's it.
Oh, wow. That's a... Is that similar to what part deux was? Is how different was that?
It's an interlude between the end of part deux and the beginning of part three.
Okay.
It's a fleshing out of the motivations of Nick, I believe.
Yeah.
It's understated in part deux, maybe more than I would have chosen were I writing it alone, but I believe that was all within Nick the entire time.
Yeah.
So there is a continuity between D and 3, I would say.
Yeah, well, I mean, just from what I know of 3, I would agree. I would also say just wow. I where I said a remix earlier, I really feel like that's inappropriate. I love remixes and all. The remix to Ignition is great, but this is it's like a remix implies that you've done it once and then you're doing it again, and the first time like wasn't good enough. But this would just be like a mix. It's just like it's great.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I would say that I would not have requested this story to be read on the podcast if it was an original story because it's too good. So.
Well, I thank you, and maybe this will encourage Alex to incorporate me in his future. At timeout.
Yeah, Alex J96, if you're listening, you made a mistake. You might want to rectify that.
I still love you, Alex.
Well, not all of us do, but
speak for yourself.
I'm speaking for myself and the rest of the royal we that do this podcast. So, I guess I was wondering something though. There's mention of the time constitution in both of these things, which I feel like both of us are aware is an actual, like, in this reality document, with a number of amendments, one of which is being debated right now, and I'm just wondering if there's some, like, political connection there. What are the politics going on, and how do they relate to the time politics that occur in our reality as well? Specifically related to taxation.
Well, Alex's conception of the time constitution differs, obviously, from ours. They rely on a clan system, similar to the guilds of old versus the corporations that are involved in the time constitution at this point. But taxation is still an issue.
Yeah, well, I mean, I consider myself somewhat of a, not an expert, but... maybe an aficionado, as we were saying earlier.
It's out of context, but wonderful.
Thank you. Of the time constitution. And I think that, I don't know, I think some of Alex's, at least what's demonstrated here in these fictions, is a little short-sighted. He really should do his research. The time constitution is not a document to be taken lightly. It really governs a lot of what we do with our time, our spare time and like actual meat of the bone time as well. So.
I agree. We need to keep in mind that he is working in a fantasy environment, so he has stripped out the elements that he's not personally very interested in or knowledgeable, as you pointed out. But I believe that is the direction forward with Time Out, is to incorporate more of the current precedences within the Time Cop universe.
That's interesting because I would And I don't want to get too political on this podcast, because this isn't a policy podcast. We're not worried about that. But for me, the time constitution and the amendments that are on the table right now shouldn't be about looking forward. They should be about looking backwards. And I really think that what is in the past is really a bygone era that we should return to, in my opinion. Some of the time laws and time rules that were in place, I don't know. I think that too much of our country has forgotten them. And as you were saying earlier, time is money. So.
True. I have to admit, I'm a little put off. I was not aware, even with my prior research, that you were a timist.
I am a timist. I'm not a judgmental person, but I do discriminate between times. AM and PM, for example, those aren't the same thing, and people treat them the same, but they're very different.
It's all relative. It depends on where you are in the globe, whether it's an AM or a PM, or if you're in the alpha realm or the beta realm.
Okay, well, those are all true, but I would also like to point out that in all of those things, we are talking about differences here, and those are differences that are really true to these times. They're not something that we can just ignore. I would also say that there's a reason why it's called Eastern Standard Time. That's the standard. So
you're so conventional. I had no idea.
I'm sorry. That's when it comes to time, I have opinions, and I mean, I don't have a lot of time, and neither do we on the rest of this podcast.
But you do have a lot of opinions.
But I have a lot of opinions. Yeah, I'm sorry, listeners, for getting so political there. We'll move on.
Let's.
I just want to get back to the story again, for just a minute. Would you please put that down?
I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. I'm not holding anything.
I know you're not holding anything, Leslie. All right, just stop trying to be funny. All right, I see that there is a fork levitating next to my head.
No proof that it's me.
Okay, well, no one else here is telekinetic. And also, I should say that...
You don't know that. You don't know.
There are only two people in this closet right now.
You might have untapped potential. I sense it within you.
Really?
I might have a touch of precognition. You're gonna have a rough week.
Oh, man. That's... Okay, well. See, because... before you told me... I mean, this fork has been levitating here this whole time. And originally I thought that was... well, I don't know if you're familiar, but at our previous studio, we had high-powered magnets in the studio. And when I left, I don't want to say I stole them, but I did take them without permission. And I put them in this studio because I really feel like it adds something to the sound. And so I just assumed that the fork that was floating in here was from the high-powered magnets, because it is metal, and as the listeners well know, you're not allowed to have metal in the studio. But now that you're here, I started thinking that it was your telekinesis, but now I don't know. Now I don't know if it's me or what.
Being very limited, it might be a ghost. You don't know.
A ghost?
Yes. The time constitution allows for ghost entities.
I forgot Amendment 23.
In public spaces. You
know, well, this is hardly a public space. I mean, I have not yet gotten the papers through to designate this as a public space. I'm trying. I really feel like my closet should be open to everyone. But right now it is still very private. So ghost, if you are in here, you need... Oh, yep, the fork just fell.
See, this is what you get for blaming people without...
I'm sorry.
Justification.
I'm sorry. I apologize. That was rude of me. And
I accept your apology.
Well, thank you. Well, as another form of apology, what if we played another game?
That would be... I'm amenable to that, yes.
Amenable?
Yes. Oh.
That's a word I don't know. What does amenable mean?
It means yes, let's play your game.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, that sounds great. So, as you see here, we have this massive wheel.
It is quite large.
Yeah.
Especially in this tiny, tiny space.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even when you take it out of the tiny space, it's still quite large. It's really just a big wheel. And not a big wheel like those little tricycles, though. Which actually aren't that big. I've never understood why they called them that. Like, it has one big wheel, yeah, but it's not that big.
It's only big in comparison.
To, like, smaller wheels, exactly.
Correct.
Yes. Whoever made that really needs to reconsider things. Anyway,
so... invite them next week and have it out.
No, I don't want to talk to them. I can't imagine that they're a good person. Anyway, so we have this massive wheel here, and as you can see on the wheel, there are a number of games that we can play. And I'm going to ask you to spin the wheel, and you can spin it conventionally. We used to have a mouse here that you could push a button inside of his home, but let's just say the mouse was taken care of. He's moved in.
Did Kate get a hold of him?
No. Oh, my gosh, no. No, that would be... I wouldn't do that to him. I mean, I'm not a fan of the mouse, but I wouldn't... No, that would be too much. He's living in my sink now.
Okay.
We also used to have a small engine in here with kind of like a pull cord on it, but it was really stinking up the place, so I got rid of that. Right now, I just have a small little tank of goldfish over there. Live goldfish. So if you want to, you can either push the button that just spins the wheel, or you can put your hand in the tank of goldfish, and then whichever one bites you, they have a number inside their throat, and you just pull it out. Careful to avoid their larynx. They are speaking goldfish, so you don't want to take that out. But you get the number out, and then instead of spinning the wheel, we'll just pick whatever game corresponds to the number that you pulled out of their throat.
So you would prefer me to use the goldfish bowl versus telekinesis?
Oh, you could just use the telekinesis. Yeah, why do you use that?
I just didn't know if that made you uncomfortable, especially after the ghost incident.
No. I mean, ghosts, I wouldn't say make me uncomfortable. They give me a chill sometimes. They also make me a little bit gassy when I accidentally inhale them. But telekinesis is fine by me. So if you want to, yeah, if you haven't done your workout today, that would be great. So
I like to combine things as much as I can and be efficient. So yeah, yes, so, I like to do that.
So yeah, just go ahead and give it a spell. Oh, so you already have. Wow, that was impressive.
Efficiency.
Yeah, well, that's a lot heavier than a deck of cards. So you're, I mean, it's a big wheel. It's not too heavy, but it's bigger than a deck of cards. So good job.
Thank you.
Well, it looks like it's landing now on, this is Know and Tell. Know and Tell is the game that we play. It's like Show and Tell, but since it's a podcast, since it's audio, you can't show. So, Know and Tell. So, you've brought some stuff with you. Maybe do you have anything in there that you just want to tell us about, kind of like you would do a Show and Tell? If you need to rummage through the stuff back there, that's fine.
Sure. I'm just trying to decide where I would like to start. I think I will start with my grasshopper, Albert.
Oh. What, you just have that in your pocket?
I take him everywhere.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Albert.
Please. I appreciate your efforts to not misgender him, but he associates with him.
Okay.
And he comes everywhere with me. He's something of my mascot.
Okay,
we're still working out the kinks for me taking him into my workspace, right? But we'll get there. We're highly motivated.
For you and Albert, I wonder, when you see signs that say, no pets allowed, right?
He's not a pet.
Right, well, that's what I was going to ask.
He's an emotional companion.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So if you see a sign that says, no pets allowed, like, it doesn't say no emotional companions allowed. Like, that would be silly. Who would do that?
Right.
So when you walk in with Albert and they say, did you see the sign? And you're like, yeah, I'm not blind. And then they're like, no, did you see the other sign? And it says, no non-blind people allowed. Then are you like, oh, whoops.
Then I ask how they saw the sign.
Oh,
In the first place.
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't... Generally, I just leave because I get anxious in those situations. But I'm going to start using your idea. That's interesting.
It's Albert's idea, actually.
Oh,
he's quite snarky.
Snarky Albert. Yeah, I could tell it just when I saw his little fangs. I don't know if that's what you say. But the way that his fangs matched his thorax, I just thought, and I was like, this guy's snarky.
He has great comedic timing, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He really knows when to come in with the cricket notes. Is that offensive?
That's racist. He is not a cricket. He's a grasshopper.
Okay.
Less music, more hopping.
Oh. Okay.
He's very lively.
Well.
It's okay, though. He's used to this.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
It happens all the time.
I apologize, Albert. I didn't mean to assume anything. I mean, I'm fairly ignorant about these things. My only real experience with grasshoppers is through The Karate Kid. So, yeah. Which I've seen a number of times, it should be said. That number is 87.
So. That's a high number.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I commend you.
Thank you. Thank you. A lot of people don't understand it.
Why not?
Well, they haven't seen The Karate Kid.
That's just...
So I say, like, I've seen The Karate Kid 87 times, and they're like, who is he? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, who is The Karate Kid? And I was like, no, the movie. And they're like, whoa, what? And then I just throw my hands up, and I'm like, you're being silly right now. You're making fun of me.
That's shameful.
Yeah.
Their parents should be ashamed.
They should. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to show, or was it just Albert?
I brought my favorite deck of cards that I use to practice with every day.
Yeah? I noticed those are some no-no cards. They've got some naked bears on them.
Yeah, but that's Albert's choice, and I try not to judge him.
Although that snarkiness again.
I do get some odd looks.
Well, I'd say so.
I never quite know if it's because there's a floating deck of cards, mm-hmm. or because said deck has naked bears on it.
Yeah.
But either way, it's not a great situation, but he has agency, and I let him exercise that agency as much as possible.
Yeah, that's good. So many grasshoppers in this country are really discriminated against, and that's unfair. They should be treated equally. But they should not be treated equally if they are from a different time zone than me. I'm not trying to get political again, but that's...
You're a timist. It's to be understood.
I was raised this way, and this is how I'm going to die. I'm going to believe this until the end. So, and perhaps even afterwards. So. It
depends on what your timist philosophy is.
Yeah.
When it ends. If it ends.
Yeah. Clock keeps on ticking, so...
Or does it?
Well, okay. We'll agree to not answer that question. Disagreeably. All right. Well, Well, Leslie, thanks for being on the show. This has been a lot of fun. Albert, thanks for also coming. I really appreciate it. I guess I did have a parting question, if you don't mind. Is another question fine?
Yes, we have time for one more.
What should I ask as my last question?
I think you should ask when my new book is coming out.
Huh. Yeah, that would be great. Special thanks to AxelJ96 for use of their story on this week's show. Special thanks to Leslie Willard for being our special guest this week. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones. Best Worst Story is looking for a new producer. If you are interested or know someone who might be interested, send us an email at lexoutloud@gmail.com. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.